G'day, snappers, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haas Beans, and my usual co-host Tubes is out this week. He's currently mid-air on a flight to Perth. So joining me to talk about all the big news coming out of the first major buy round, he's the head honcho of Ballers Podcasting Arm, and he's the host of the Tuesday show. Matt, welcome to the Snap. How you going?
Thanks, Jono, mate. Feeling the pressure. I've been waiting for the call up to the Snap. There's been a healthy rivalry between the Teamless Tuesday pod and the Snap, and just glad to be here. Thanks, mate.
How'd the Terrace Crew go this week?
Mate, I think we're all right. We got 996, bought in Lehigh Hopewadi, so that was good for his ton.
Nice.
Also bought in Turbo, who did all right against Teddy. And then my final trade was Tarpany today, so that didn't work out quite as well. But yeah, he could get a suspension by the looks, so we'll see.
Yeah, not great.
Did I say my score there? I got a 996. No, 996. So before update, so should update to over 1,000. So happy enough with that.
How good? Well, you've just left me behind. I had a 986 before update. So my trade in this week, I had Turbo like you, pretty happy with that. And I brought in my big pod. I said it last week. I was 100% doing it. Had to back it up for the listeners. I brought in Lika Halasima, who got, I think, around a 47. So not a disaster, but not too bad either. I think I've just watched that space and see how he goes.
What happened with Lecker? He didn't get 80 today, did he?
No, there was a sin bin for Chance Nickel Klokstad, and when they reshuffled, they brought Tamari Martin on to cover, and Lecker was the man they took off to bring Tamari Martin on for. And then when Chance came back on, they put Lecker back on. So I still think it's a TBA on exactly what his role is going to look like with all these guys coming back. But hopefully he can get the 80 minutes next week, because his base plus power in the minutes he got looked great.
Yeah, it just needs a bit of attack, doesn't he? And he'll be off to the races.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have a big microscope on you this week, Matt, especially, I'm sure Tubes will have plenty to say about your performance on the Snap. And you could win. If there's a big bump in downloads, you might have a bit to say to Tubes.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying I'm going to take, Tubes' spot on the Snap, but, like, if listener demand is there, then we're always here for the Snappers, Jono. You know that.
I'm just hoping you've been working on a couple of hot takes for us, because Tubes, he's always quick with the hot takes. I'm hoping you can work something out.
I'm trying to. I said to you just before pre-pod, like, I was getting stuck into you last night on the WhatsApp chat after my bottle of my delightful bottle of Pizzini Sangiovese, and that had me really fired up during the Roosters Sharks game. We couldn't get a call to my half cut eye anyway.
I don't want to upset you already, so I'm going to just leave it there. We might talk more about it when we get to that game near review. But before we get stuck into all that, just a reminder to join the SC Ballers Unlimited League. $5,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. The league code is 730444. That's 730444. Baller.live still absolutely flying, Matt. The weekly price rise in BE projections are going out on socials, which is incredibly valuable for those people who haven't signed up for SC Gold. Have one in front up for the cash. You can get it for free just by following Baller's social media, SC Ballers. Is there anything else we should be excited about, Matt, coming up for Baller?
Mate, coming up in a few weeks, we're going to have, we'll be having a login to the site, which will be awesome, which will unlock some key premium features, which will be for free. So that'll be fantastic. Can't wait to launch that in the coming weeks. Content on social has been good. And there'll be some cool stuff that you can't get for SC Gold behind. We won't have a paywall or anything like that for this season. So, yeah, really, really pumped. Site's going well and the boys are working hard.
How good is that going to include one of the features you get when logging in? Is that going to include those player point projections that you guys put out each week?
Correct, yeah. So we're currently doing the Power Hour on a Thursday, giving out requests for the baller projections. And, yeah, we'll have projections which will get updated and you'll be able to go in and see them for every player. So really excited to launch that. Hopefully it'll be, like I said, in the coming weeks.
Nice. All right. Well, Matt, I hope you're ready to get negative early, because it is time for the rage trades.
Are you little?
Matt, your team obviously went pretty well this week, so you're looking beyond the Terrace Crew for your rage trade candidate.
I am. Bit of a shout out to Joey Taps. Like, if he gets suspended for 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, even worse. He'll be gone till round 17. He will be being rage traded out come tomorrow lunchtime. But no, yeah, look, I don't really have a rage trade per se for my team, but there is one person who we have to talk about, and I'm here for Tubes, and Tubes has been a staunch owner of this bloke, and it's Connor Tracy from the Bulldogs. He has gone 27 and 18 in his last 2 weeks. He was the most popular purchase last week, leading into round 11 when he had that lowish break even. But he's going to lose nearly 60,000. He's lost nearly 60,000 this week, and his break even is going to be around 140, 145. And the Dogs don't play 13 or 16. So it's just been a complete disaster for those who were brought in. I tried to think about, like, is there a reason why you might hold him? I just can't really see it now, though. I don't think round 15 is going to be a big enough problem. I think you got to get that problem off your books. And I feel bad because Connor Tracy, he's just run into a couple of tough games where they had that one against the Roosters last week. It didn't really work out for him. And then, like, it was wet on really wet Thursday night. We don't get games like that where it's played in torrential rain. So, yeah, I feel bad for owners in a sense. In another sense, I don't, because I don't own him, so I'm happy with that. But if I did, I'd be rage trading him out this week.
Oh, I'm the opposite. I'd hold. I understand why owners would want to rage trade, especially those who brought him in for those two prices, because he was an absolute pod. He went 100-100 before those two scores, the first 2 weeks Tubes had him. I still think you're going to, like, if he's 580K, I still think that's okay value for Connor Tracy. I would agree that if you have bigger fires to put out, if you don't have numbers for round 13, he's a fine one to trade. But I like that he's dual. You can flip him around. I think he's still okay value. And I think they're going to be his two worst games of the year for me. So I can definitely see a case either way. Team dependent, you might call it, Matt. But I think I'd be trying to hold if I could, I think, when it comes to Connor.
Do you reckon he'll be safe if Galvin goes to the Dogs, which is looking likely now that they, you know, they won't stick Birdo to fullback or anything like that, will they?
I did read rumours about that on social media today. I just thought it was a clear case of thanks for coming, Toby Sexton. But I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens.
My spicy take on the Galvin scenario is it seems very risky for a team with such good culture who are humming, all playing together. Obviously, it could really work out because he could take them to that next level. It just doesn't look apparent where he's going to fit in. I mean, maybe they'll put Burton to the centres. I don't know. What do you think?
Galvin loves to be the dominant man, and I think Burton's pretty happy playing second string in more of a running role and just chipping in with his, well, not chipping in, bombing in with his big kicks. So I don't know. I think it'll work with them two as the halves, and I think that's what they should definitely try, in which case I think Connor Tracy will be safe. And if it makes him a better team, it might make Connor Tracy an even better super coach player. So, look, yeah, if it's what I do. We'll see.
Who are you rage trading, Jono?
My rage trade candidate is big Hamole Olakau'atu. 42 points when his owners needed him the most this week. It was incredibly frustrating. It's now his fourth score in the 40s this year, which just quite simply isn't good enough for a premium player. And Hamole just has these games where you can just tell he's going through the motions. And I think he's such a talented player. And watching that game the other night, it was just clear that that was one of those ones where it was a motions game. And they're the kind of games, which is why he's not, despite his talent, not picked in State of Origin. So I know I'm not going to trade him. The Seagulls' buy coverage is too good, but he's the one that jumps out who just really annoyed me in my 13 this week. I was so frustrated him all
the way. He could potentially go after round 15. Manly missed 16 and 19 then. So, yeah, you wouldn't think he's getting picked for Origin on the back of that, off the back of that anyway, so he should be there in 15 at least, Jono.
Yeah, you'd be confident he'll be around. You were going to bring him in. You didn't end up doing it, did you?
Yeah. No, I went. I just thought. I got real warm on Taps in the end, and I thought, okay, I want to go for a bit more. I wanted a bit more of the Manly run that they had coming up, so I thought, oh, Lehigh is probably the man here, and I also like the insurance for Turbo going down, that Lehigh would move to fullback, and he'd be someone I'd definitely want to own at fullback. So, yeah, I think it's obviously worked out going Lehigh over Olakau'atu. Olakau'atu was a little bit victim of circumstances. The Eels obviously had Pennacini go off after 1 minute, and so they attacked the left side all first half, so they didn't give any ball out to the right. And then in the second half, they just got dominated and had no good ball. So, unfortunately, Olakau'atu is a player who does need good ball to really show any value, and he obviously can do that. He's a gun on his day, but yeah, it's just don't think the game situation played out particularly well there.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, let's get on to the actual round review. First game that we're going to review was the Dogs versus the Dolphins at a core, where the Dolphins absolutely pumped the Bulldogs in the start of things to come in terms of upsets this round. It was a really weird game, this one. Low base. The first half was just filled with errors. It was pouring rain and just filled with errors from both teams. They couldn't really get anything going. And then in the second half, the Dolphins were scoring at will. So it was a really low base game for both sides. One of the big standout performers was Jermaine Asaka, who had 82 points with a try, 30 points from conversions. I know in our group chat that we have amongst the baller brains, the on-air part of baller, C-Mac said that he always becomes relevant this time of year. And I think that's absolutely true. His base has been pretty good this year. What do you think, Matt? Do you think he could be an option? He's going to be going up to around 560K. Do you trust the Dolphins?
I don't trust the Dolphins, and I don't trust Asako, but I do like their run. So they play round 14, as you mentioned, and then they don't buy again until... let's have a look. Sorry, man. Just getting the projections up here. Yeah, they have a bye. They play every round then except for 18. But they do have an exceptional run where they play the Dragons at home, the Cowboys away, the Knights at home, and the Rabbitohs at home between round 14 and round 17. So I've got him projected to average 64 across that period. And obviously with his goal-kicking upside. I don't mind it. I have a lot of reservations about which center wings I'm bringing in at this time of the year. And it's, if you bring in a center wing, you probably want to be looking to keep them. And with Lomax and Karaz on the menu in the coming weeks as well, where you got to get those guys in more than likely, I've kind of got Lehigh as my pod center wing now. So I've probably made that bed. So we'll see what happens when we get later there, but I don't mind a Sarko as a flyer.
Yeah, I don't think he's too bad. All right, well, on a much more popular scale, this guy's in 61% of the top 10% of teams. Third most traded player in the week, a very popular kid as replacement. It's Herbie Farmworth. Matt, I want to just put to you, what do you think his nickname should be? He scored a try in the 63rd minute when the game was over. Junkie Farnworth or Herbie Junkworth? What do you think flows better? Because he keeps doing it.
Well, I like Herbie Junkworth, but he'll always be Dreamboat to me.
Yeah, I mean, the Dreamboat's fair enough, but the way he's playing this year, he just keeps scoring tries late in games. And this week, I actually brought him in. I was one of the people who traded him in for Kiraz. So finally, I was cheering home at Junkworth when it was starting to come through.
That's just exactly what you want to see from one of your Supercoach assets, like get to dummy half and just barge over. Just get over
it's
the
funny
line, whatever it takes.
It's one of those rugby league things where you separate rugby league and super coach. If any other player in the comp who you don't own goes, tell me I'm trying so much, you go, you idiot, what are you doing? But yeah, if your super coach player does, it's like, well done, have a crack. Good on your son. So it was good to see.
It's a good little feeling when you see your man at dummy half at the end, and you always have a look if they're looking up or not for a go. And you're exactly right. If he doesn't score there, the coach goes bananas.
Yeah. Good work, Junkworth.
Part of the pun.
All right, on to the Doggies. This Hopoi, I feel like Tubes. I can't say it properly. How do you say his name, man?
Hopoi,
thank you. He had 51 points in him with like almost a pinball try off a kick. He played 35 minutes. He was well talked about. I tried to dissuade a few people in my life who were texting me on the side asking what I thought. I tried to dissuade them from him. I just thought he's going to end up being one of these 20-minute off the bench props who are just an absolute trap. But, look, he's going to make 40K this week, negative break even. 5,000 took a punt, and it worked out okay.
Yeah, look, well done if you brought him in. I don't know how the hell you would have brought him in starting on the bench, but well done if you did. It's worked out pretty well for you. That'll be the end of Lehigh Hopoi for the certainly better not be the end of him. Lipoi Hopoi, he won't have any more relevance for the year. But well done to those who bought.
Won't be the last time we say that this pod. I don't think about that's the end of their relevance. Well done to those who bought. I want to talk about just a couple of Dogs low end premiums. You mentioned Matty Burton. He had 50 with an assist. Billy Kickow had 45, all in base plus power. What'd you make of those guys this weekend?
Games are write-off, mate. Games are complete write-off. Like, we just don't get, like I said, we don't get conditions like that. And we've seen wet games in the NRL now. They can still score high. That game scored high somehow. Like you said, it's such a weird game. I thought the Dogs were actually the better team in the first half, weirdly. Reed, it was 8-all and there was 5 minutes till half time, and Reed Marnie knocked on at the back of the scrum in a very attacking position. And then the Dolphins went down the other end and scored to make it 14-8 at half time. And then, yeah, the Dogs just weird second half, like weird. So, yeah, the whole game's a write-off from a Supercoach perspective. Kickow would have been a tough watch as an own. He played all right, but yeah, the Dogs will be better than that. The Dolphins won't be as good as that every week. Yeah, I don't own any Dogs, and I think round 13 is going to be tough next week now. They're looking like possible suspensions and Origin backups, and so I think that's going to be tough, and 16 is going to be tough as well. So I'd be very wary if I own too many Dogs.
All right, let's get on to the second game of the round, the Eels versus the Seagulls, where the Eels pumped them 30-10. The two top scorers for the Eels are two of the most irrelevant people in Supercoach. One of them not owned by anyone in the top 10%. It's Dean Hawkins, had a 91 with 4 try assists and a try contribution. Probably has my least favourite nickname in the NRL, Footy Dean, he gets called. I don't know what he's done. I don't know how he's earned the right to be called Footy Dean. And one of your old favourites, Matt. Yeah, so do heaps of people. I like it. You don't call me Footy Jono.
Mate, but if you get the nickname Footy Dean, you love footy. Like, that's how you get. Like, you have to be obsessed with footy. Like, you really love it.
Well, he stepped up for his zero owners this week. Well done, Footy Dean. And one of your old favourites, Matt, Jackie Boy Williams, had 96 points in 73 minutes with a try. Looked fantastic. He's in 0.3% of the top 10. I think he should have been your little black book this week. I reckon we should be taking a look at him.
Mate, fair play to Jack on the try. Ran a nice line. He's got a great...
Held onto it.
Like, very strong, very strong. Held onto it nicely in the wet. I'm just checking his error columns just to make sure that he had his nightly error. He didn't. No errors for Jack. So that's good work, Jack. 73 minutes on the edge. 96 points. Good on you, Jack. Well done.
Do we need to bring in a new segment when you're on? Maybe we get rid of Ready to Explode and bring in match rig analysis. Didn't expect that on the pod,
did I? No, I do. Regular listeners of the SC Ballers podcast will know that I've got a good admiration for a solid rig. So, yeah, that's
a connoisseur
for me, mate.
All right. Well,
he's no Jamie Humphries.
One who is much more relevant. Oh, no one is. No one is. One much more relevant Parramatta was Yongi. He's 26% owned, the top 10% has still got him. He had 90 points with a really nice solo try. He's getting up to 560K now. Well, I really wish I'd have kept him instead of Kalen Ponga a long time ago. Plays round 13 and 14. It's almost got to be time to go. You get him through 13 and 14, you have to upgrade him round 15, surely.
Yeah, I think a few must have sold because he was 30% owned prior to the round. So... yeah, look, Yongi, I like him. I can't work out if he's going to be a star or not. He's very silky and he's got nice skills and he can find the try line and find an assist. You know, he can run that sweep really nicely. But yeah, look, it would have been nice to have him on the weekend. There's no doubt about that. I don't know what else to say about him. Like, no one's buying him in or...
yeah, well, let's move on. To some Eels cheapies who did go really well for their owners as well. Sam Rani. Oh, I think I made the pun last week on the show. You got a Sam Rani away from him if you're even considering him. He ended up getting 67 points with a great try backwards over the line, dragging it over his head, playing it right centre. He's probably going to start again next week. Penasini, you mentioned, got concussed in this one. So I'd say Sam Rani's a big chance of starting again next week, before he probably drops back to that 20 to 30 minute bench roll. He's going to make 50K. He's going to have a negative break even. And my man, Riley Smith, I don't own him, but I like him a lot more than the rest of the Ballers. He had 54 points, 50 tackles in his 80 minute game. And the big thing, my big take on Riley Smith is owners have basically needed him twice this year. They needed him in round 10 when Sandon Smith was on the bye. He got a 60. And now this week he comes out and gets a 54. So he's stepping up when owners need it.
Yeah, well done to Riley Smith owners. I wasn't big on him at all, but he's done well and he's been a shrewd purchase. I think it would have been around 8 or 9 when he sort of relevance peaked. Sam Rani is an interesting one. Like, I still think he's a trap and it won't work out, but he's got you a 67 this week and he's going to make cash now. So well done to those who jumped on him. I like Sam Rani. I think he's a good player.
Agree.
Whether it's an edge, I don't know if it's going to be on an edge long term. I would have thought probably. But that put down was exceptional. Like, I thought there's no way he scored this, and then there's no doubt about it. So, yeah, well done to Sam Rani, Jonas.
And with his form, I guess he's probably only an injury away at any stage as well, in either the back row or the outside backs, and he is dual. So you never know, they could get lucky if they hold.
Absolutely. He could still be for owners. I just don't, not as a purchase option.
Yep, fair enough. Well, Dealbag certainly didn't step up for owners this week. 23 points in a game where Parra scored 30 points in total. And it's only his second time all year he's gone under 40. Tubes and I were saying in the pod last week, he had a big score last week with a lot of attacking stats. It just doesn't seem like Dealbag's his year. Like those weeks where he's getting attacking stats, used to him going north of 100. This year, without any 23 points, it just doesn't seem like it's going to work out for Dill Brown this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I've sort of wanted to own, and I know C-Mac owns him, and I've got another couple of mates who own him. Is he a rage trade candidate at some point? They don't play major buy rounds now. He's going to have a break-even of 93 next week, and he's going to be 608K. 5.8's just a bit tricky, though, isn't it?
Look, I don't want to step on your ready-to-explode segment, but I think come round 15, you get him through round 13 and 14, it could be a valuable number. And then I think round 15, we'll talk about your ready-to-explode guy later, but I think he'd be a one to trade to.
We'll get to that. Good call.
Beauty. All right, well, you spoke about Lehi Hopewade. 100 points ended up with his two tries and so close to being a hat-trick. And I'll tell you what, for you as a Lehi and a Tommy Turbo owner, some points were left out there. Just got that elbow into touch before he got the ball down. I was really impressed with his base plus power, Matt. I'm not sure how much of a deep dive you did into Lehi before you got him, knowing you, probably pretty deep. Base plus power's been looking good.
He looks, his data's been really good. He had one off game, which was, I think, I can't remember which game it was, but it was a bit funny. But his base is definitely up on last year. And obviously we know that when Manly attack and Turbo's fit, that left edge can go huge. It's reminiscent of the Turbo Ruben Garrick stack of 2021, which many will remember fondly from that year. 2020 or 2021, whatever year it was. Yeah, so I was just trying to chase a bit of that, relatedness to Turbo, that if I could get Turbo going big, then Lehi might go big too. Oh, mate, you mentioned the try, the elbow that he got on the ground. Forget that. In the first half, Turbo, all he had to do was pass it, and Lehi had a trick.
Oh, yeah.
And it would have been try assist, line assist, Turbo, try, line break for Lehi. This is the most annoying thing about Supercoach is you can get a bloke, get a ton, and still be annoyed the next day. It's left me feeling a bit like that. But yeah, Lehi, it's probably not too late, but it's going to be tough. Like that Manly draw is 16-19 missing. That's no good. That's no good. So yeah, you got to be very careful with your Manly assets. Manly, Canberra, everyone's going to be on Keon this week as well. Keon Kualamatangi. So you and people are buying assets who you want for round 18. So Manly, Canberra, and Souths all play 18, and everyone's got guns. No one's going to want to sell those guys, but you are screwed for round 19 if you have too many of them.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Keon, especially. I think with a lot of these guys, like the Keons as well, you wait till Origin to see what you're going to do there, because I think if New South Wales come out and absolutely smoke them, minimal changes. But if New South Wales were to go down in a tough upset, that would give me some doubt around Keon, to be honest. But, yeah, interesting one. Tommy Turbo, he was the fifth most traded in player of the week, and geez, it firmed late after your mate NRL Physio put out that post that it was just a quad cork and that he was looking fit and that Manly were thinking he was going to be a lot freer. What'd you make of that, Matt? I thought he looked pretty free. What do you think?
He still didn't look old Turbo. He definitely was keen. Like, you could see he was out to prove a point. Like, there was he did a couple of those ones where he just hits it up at the line and tries to score, which usually he does, but it didn't come off this week. I thought he really wanted to be involved, but I still think his body was letting him down a bit. I'm glad to see him get through 80 minutes. I'm glad he's going to be there next week. If we can get him through to that round 15 game against the Titans, then we could really be in business. I'll be very keen to listen to the Magic Sponge podcast tomorrow to hear what what the NRL physio has to say on him. But yeah, I'm pretty happy as an owner. We get you know, Teddy doesn't play around 14 if you've got Turbo, not Teddy. So yeah, I'm pretty happy overall. But yeah, would have liked him tonning up for that VC loop.
I think that's really key what you said there, Matt, about Teddy, because I think you're in a similar position to me where I was making the decision of Turbo versus Teddy. And in a week where Turbo outscores him at nearly $400,000 less, you take it. And he looked huge. Pretty good. I agree. Didn't look 100%, but he looked pretty good. And I'm overall happy with the decision. Yeah, we'll reassess come round 15 if he's not playing Origin.
What about Garrick? Like, just can't get into gear, Ruben.
Yeah, but he also can't get beat. Like 51, no. Only 2 points from conversions. And like I only brought him in 2 weeks ago and I haven't been through it. He was my Greg Marju replacement. But he's still getting 50s. And I'm watching the game and I'm like, he did nothing. Like I didn't see him take many hit ups. So I didn't see him bust any tackles. I didn't see him offload. And then the updates come through. He goes from 44 to 51. Like you can't beat him, but he's just, yeah, it's a little bit more inconsistent. I think that's just a product of Manly being inconsistent themselves.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right, anything else from this game, Matt, or do you want to move on to the Panthers versus the Knights, the big game of the round?
I just want to say shout out to Luke Brooks, like time to retire, mate.
Where's that come from? That just felt tough out of nowhere.
Mate, he is a debacle. Like honestly, like I feel like Jake Arthur wasn't much better, but Jake Arthur's a backup half. Like Luke Brooks is your number one guy through this bye period. And he can't get a team around the park. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, might be time for Baller to find some money and send him a barbecue. All right, Panthers versus Knights, and the top scoring player of the round, he's 81% owned in the top 10%. He had 147 with a hat trick within the first 25 minutes and then fumbled a fourth over the line not long before half time. I think one of the most entertaining parts of the whole round, Matt, was how much he sent super coaches into a paddock on Friday night when the good old rugby league mole, Tony Adams, put it out on socials that he was gone with a hamstring injury. And I think it rattled a few, myself included. I started looking at, like, okay, who do I trade him to? And I'm so lucky. I reckon if I didn't own Ola Kawadu, I reckon I would have done it. I reckon I would have done Lucas to Ola if I didn't already own.
Mate, I lit a candle on Saturday night for those who'd made that trade. Like, oh my God, Ola Kawadu for Lucas. Yeah, I don't know how these things start. I suppose the lesson is just always take everything with a grain of salt unless it's Barry Toohey. He's the only one who knows anything about Newcastle Knights.
100%. Big bad Barry Toohey.
But Lucas, like, what was he doing with that? All he had to do was dive over the line and he thought he'll turn into a bloody Mike Acevo or, no, that's not a good example, but who's good at that? Like AKP or I don't know. He thought he'd turn into a flying winger anyway for no reason.
Of all the wingers he could have picked, there you go, Mike Acevo, who probably would have fumbled it worse.
Micah would have turned right just so he could have run straight into Dane Laurie and potentially knock him out.
If you're one of the 19%, Matt, who don't own Dylan Lucas, he's now going to be up to 730K. Obviously, he's going to have a tiny break even compared to what he's worth. Do you just take the plunge? They don't have a buy now to round 18.
God, I don't know. I don't know what you'd probably just pack it up for the year, wouldn't you?
I get him. No question.
I'm only kidding. I'm worried about his shoulder. I can see why people didn't buy him. Like these shoulders do go. I think he's just such a good player. My God. I don't know. I honestly don't know what I'd do if I didn't own him. I'd be so fuming. Oh my God.
All right, let's get on to Fletcher Sharp, who had 131 points with just the one try, but four line breaks, 34 points in tackle busts. Plus, I think he was held up at one point too, wasn't he, late in the game? He just looked awesome playing in his preferred position of fullback. 11% of the top 10% had the VC in him. You and I were not one of that 11%, unfortunately. But how good did he look playing fullback?
Funnily enough, if I didn't buy Turbo, I probably would have VC'd him. So maybe the Turbo buy didn't work out just quite as I wanted. Mate, he is a genuine superstar. Like, who was I can't remember, who was I talking about before, Yongi or not, if he's a star or not. Fletcher Sharp, bona fide superstar, elite ball runner, evidenced by those 34 points in tackle breaks. He's fast. He's a great mover. He just glides across the ground. Shout out to the Podfather. He bought him last week and was fuming with his 35. I said, it's a one game. It's a one game, Dad. Don't worry too much. He'll come good. And sure enough, sent the Podfather a few messages this weekend, just making sure he didn't, you know, that he was happy with that performance from young Fletcher. But yeah, look, great work for people who VC'd him. Got that held up. Tommy Jenkins, shout out to my boy Tommy. That was lovely, that little hold up. What can you say? Like, he's the same boat as Lucas. If you don't know, people actually sold Fletcher Sharp this week for some reason. I don't know why. He was minus 4% sold off.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What would you do with these big scoring Knights, Jono, if you didn't own them?
I'd make Lucas a priority over Sharp, because I think Sharp's going to go back to 5'8". Ponga will come back into the team. And obviously he's still a gun 5'8" as well, and available at centre wing. But I think he'd be must-have if you played fullback all the time, that's for sure. At 5'8", I think you can leave him, because I think he'll have some down weeks too.
I reckon, just thinking about it now, that Dylan Lucas might be a smoky for Origin, for 18th man, for game two.
Yeah.
It depends on their policy for picking players on the bye or not. Fletcher Sharp, I think, will play fullback next week because they have the Dragons on Friday night, which is 2 days after Origin. So I would be surprised if Ponga backs up from Origin in that. Looking forward to maybe putting the VC on Fletcher Sharp next week.
Could be a good option. On to one of yours, Matt, Tommy Cant. Seriously, I'm sick of you talking about Tommy Cant in our group chat.
It must be so boring.
Oh, who cares about Tommy Cant? And he got 42 points in 32 minutes. You were like acting like it was 100. Who cares? He's dropping around 10K. His break-even is about 40. I never want to hear the name Thomas Cant again.
I love Tommy Cant. He's going nowhere while he's staying in the team. He can do a job. I'll take his 40s. That'll do. He'll stay at the same price. He'll get me through another number in round 15. And then he can pack his bags. But yeah, well done, Tommy Cant. I like him. I think he's gonna do well in the middle at the Knights in the coming years.
All right, moving on to someone more relevant, Cole McCarthy. Although, don't know how I feel about saying to someone more relevant than following up with Cole McCarthy. But he had 51 points all in base on the weekend. He had 35 in base in his previous game back in round 6. If Greg Marju is named on the wing this week in place of Fletcher Hunt and Kyle McCarthy holds his spot at centre, he could be a fantastic downgrade option. He plays every game from now through till round 18. So round 19, they have the bye. His break-even is going to be negative, or around zero to negative. Is he an option? Is it 0.3% of the top 10%? Matt, what do you think?
Top of my head, no. That's because I think he's just a risk to be in the team in any given week. Already got loads of Knights. They've had one of their big buy rounds already. Obviously, they've the team with probably the best buy schedule out of ever anyone. I don't have a clue what he looks like. I didn't see him in the game last night. I can see some numbers on the screen here. They're kind of making me feel good about him, but it's not really doing that. You know, it's not making me go, oh, I want to buy him next week.
Yeah, I think that's all pretty fair, right down to I was trying to watch him closely and I still can't remember what he looked like. I was keeping an eye out for him, because I actually nearly brought him in this week. If I had gone Teddy, I was going to bring Kyle in instead of just as a potential depth man. So I was watching him. He looked pretty good. He looks like he's going to be just a decent guy. I don't think he's going to have a lot of attacking upside. But I do think this week, Matt, that if Greg Marge is named on the wing and he holds his spot, I reckon on the Tuesday show, he'll be getting a fair bit of chat as an option.
You're right.
So we'll see.
You're right. Like, I mean, these guys are better than you, like Lipai Popoys or those types, because they don't become AE nightmares. They just come in the team. They can be AE nightmares because they can get 10s. But he's, like you said, his base and base plus power seems okay. So, yeah.
He
might get a run on Tuesday.
looking back to last year, his base play was pretty good in his couple of appearances as well. So I don't think he'd be a disaster. On to a couple of the Panthers boys. Not a lot to speak about with the Panthers. You mentioned your boy, Tommy Jenkins. He's easily their kind of most owned player this week. 39% of the top 10% own him. He had 40 with no major attacking stats, all base plus power. He's going to be up over 30K, break even in the 80s. Time to trade? What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't. I don't know why I called him my boy. I traded him out weeks ago. Panthers have got good matches the next couple. I think maybe you could hold him to around 16. I don't think he's going to lose much cash at that price, 484K. And he'll be up over 500K this week. I think with Cleary back, they play Parramatta than the Tigers. I know they're coming last, but they're not as bad as that. You know, realistically, they'll get all their Origin players back. I think they might thump Parramatta next week. Maybe not thump, but I think they'll beat Parramatta. And I think he's a good number for some of these weeks. And yeah, I'd probably look at holding Tommy Jenkins personally.
The only risk is that if Big Bad Brian backs up, and that's not Big Bad Barry Tui, that's Big Bad Brian Tall. If he backs up, is Jenkins back on the bench again? Because you don't want him if he's coming off the bench. Like, he's going to start.
Sorry, he's on the bench, yeah. If he's on the bench, you probably got to sell him because he won't be a number for 15. Yeah, that's fair. That's probably the scenario where you sell him. But I think if he's starting, whether it's at center or wing, and obviously who knows what Ivan Cleary just names. Puts jerseys on people on Teamless Tuesday and then just does whatever he wants come game day. So as long as he's not on the bench, then I think he can hold.
I don't know if you have anything to say about this bloke, Matt. You guys spoke about him on the Thursday Q&A show a bit. Paul Alamotti, he ended up with 39 points, unfortunately, for people who brought him in, which didn't end up being that many. I think he was a lot more discussed than he was actually brought in Supercoach circles, but only the one goal. What did you make of him? Anything to say?
I think the big thing with Paul Alamotti, and this is a snap reaction, this is a snap take. Don't bring in guys who have rumor or innuendo about an injury, because I don't think he actually was even injured, but that's just got to be enough to put you off bringing them in. If there's smoke, there can often be fire, and you know for those who did trade, I know Dan traded him in, and we just didn't think about it. But yeah, that's just probably a lesson to take. I've got nothing further to say about Alamotti. That was the week for him, and yeah, we'll talk about him again in preseason.
All right, let's get on to now the most popular and most controversial segment of the show. It's time to see who is ready to explode. Matt, I'd love to explain to you what this segment means, but I feel like I don't fully understand myself. So I'm just going to throw to you and say, who is your ready to explode player this week?
Mate, I've been listening to this podcast all year. I'm an avid snapper. And this segment is just off the chain. Like, you guys have got to get a grip on what's going on here. Like, Tubes can't decide. Tubes has a go at you, then he goes off piste. Like, I'm just bringing my own interpretation to ready to explode. And I'm going to take it in the most literal sense. Who is a player who is about to explode and go bananas? And for me this week, Jaden Campbell is ready to explode. This man accumulates Supercoach points as good as peak Nico Hines 2 years ago. He is going to have some massive scores on the run home. Caveat, the Titans are looking pretty rubbish, and they're going to have games where they ship 40 to 50 points. So that's not going to help his cause, but he's going to have a game here where he goes 150 plus. I'm almost certain I'm confident that he's going to have a game of 150 plus this season. He only misses round 18 of the major bye rounds. So that's same as Knights basically now, but they'll have one less bye on the run home than the Knights. So yeah, I'm planning on getting him in round 15 when their fixture just gets a little bit better. They play the Storm this week, but cannot wait to get Jaden into my team.
I agree. I'm going to be – he's almost a heaven and earth man for me. I think he's that good. I definitely want him in my team. Matt, I think you and I are in the same position here, and I bet a lot of people are, in fact. The most popular 5'8 pairing amongst the top 10% is Cam Munster and the new King of Kogra, King Tongia. It's not easy to get up from King Tongia to Jaden Campbell, and Munster's gone back-to-back hundreds, so it's actually a little bit hard to trade him out now, because when he comes back, Well, when you want him back, his price is going to be skyrocketed.
Ah, Jono, but for not easy. Forward thinkers, the new king received a lovely little jewel status last week. So when Nathan Cleary could be traded in round 15, you can put the new king up to 5'8", up to halfback to bring in Jaden Campbell for Nathan Cleary. I am a little bit cautious on that Cleary trade out now, so I'm going to have to think about that. But yeah, that's my current plan anyway.
No, the jewel definitely helps. My ready to explode player.
Jono, I've just got to set the scene here. I feel like I've put a pretty exciting case forward for this week's ready to explode, Jaden Campbell. Just want to prepare the listeners for a bit of a letdown here.
You can. that's completely thrown me. I was about to chip you and now I have nothing. I was about to go throw one your way. You've absolutely smashed me. I almost want to move on from the segment, but I'll try and pull it back together. Because Matt, as you are the head honcho of the Baller Podcasting Arm, you might remember this is a round review show. You've picked a ready to explode player who did not play this weekend. So at least my one fits one of the only criteria is did they play on the weekend and did you see something in their game that triggered you? So I'm going with someone who played this weekend. It is. I wasn't feeling very confident about it. Now I feel even less so after that. But it's Guy Pearce Paul is my ready to explode player. He's only in 1%.
Sorry, listener.
All right, I'm going to try. He had 64 on the weekend. We've mentioned the Knights have absolutely outstanding buy coverage. I think there was a time where it was getting scary with how many Knights you could own. People are earning a lot less now with most selling Ponga and Greg Marju. He has a season low of 41, so he's been incredibly consistent. His only major attacking stats for the year are 2 try assists. So basically with the average he's put together, it's nearly all in base plus power. And just from an eye test perspective, Matt, I'm not sure if you feel the same way watching the Knights. Every time I watch him play, he seems like the kind of player who is going to break out and figure it out and become an absolute attacking weapon in real footy and in super coach. He's getting more and more confidence and footy under his belt. I don't see why that can't be soon.
Good player. He's got an offload, which I wish they'd utilise more because he's very rangy. He just can't score tries for whatever reason. He can't bust. He's not a massive tackle buster. I think that has a fair bit to do with it. Is he ready to explode? I don't know, maybe.
Maybe. I tell you what, I don't think that one's going to get clipped up and used on social media by producer Gramsy after you've laughed at me for 30 seconds before I've delivered it. So I don't think the views on TikTok for it's going to be exploding anytime soon.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's get back into our second half of our round review. I'm a little bit nervous to talk about this game, Matt. You were cranky at me last night live when I had some things to say about the Roosters versus Sharks. Are we going to be able to talk about this one without any temper tantrums, or are you feeling all right?
No, I'm all right. I'm over it now. But it was just I felt like the Sharks played terrible, like really bad, and they got dudded by the refs. Like there was a clear knock on that you were winding me up about that it was clearly backwards. it was just a very, very frustrating game as a Nico captainer. Look, if you'd given me those scores of Teddy 60 and Nico 67 at the start of the game, I probably would have taken it, to be honest. So I've got to look at the bright side there. And yeah, it was just a frustrating watch.
Yeah, so it was Roosters end up pumping the Sharks 42-16. Matt, might have been a less frustrating watch if you're a Hugo Savala owner, or as he was known in my
such
house.
Such as yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. He wasn't Hugo Savala on my couch. It was Hugh, go you good thing, Savala, because he put together 95 points, a try, 3 assists, all from kicks. He's now up to nearly 400K with a break even under 10. The only thing that's making me a little bit nervous is that Sammy Williams is on the horizon. I think Sammy Hugo Savala's been... Sorry, yeah, not Sammy Williams isn't making a comeback anytime soon. I think he's coaching local Canberra rugby league. So not Sammy Williams, Sammy Walker is on the horizon. Yes. The thing that makes me a little bit nervous as a Savala owner is it could be as soon as next week. I don't think that would make sense. I think it's more likely to be around 15. He's playing so well that he's going to get a bench spot. So he's actually going to be nearly an immediate sell because he becomes an auto-emergency nightmare and starts bleeding cash the second he goes back to that bench. So I think he's one you just got to have an escape plan in mind. The good thing is he's dual second row forward halfback. So if he is dual and you don't have too many nuffs already, pretty good one to nuff out potentially and just bank that cash.
Yeah, nothing more to say from me there, Johnny. Well done to those who got on board. He wasn't really one for me, but he's done really well. He's had a couple of really big games, that Anzac Day game, and I think there's a player in there. He's just going to get his confidence up around his running game. He's a good distributor and he's a good kick. Obviously, got a great kicking game. So yeah, certainly a player of the future.
Yeah, big frame, tackles well too. His halves partner Sandon Smith had a 53. I was very happy about Sandon's score. You told me that who cares because he's 100% owned when you're having your angry rant. But look, he's scoring well. He had an assist off a kick. He had 28 points from conversions. One thing that I hadn't considered was floated in our group chat, Matt. I think it was between you and C-Mac. Could he keep this kicking when Sammy Walker returns? Could Sandon keep the kicking?
I don't see why not. Like Sam Walker is not an astonishingly good kicker. I think Sandon's like a top four kicker in the comp at the moment. He's kicking over 80%. If he holds that kicking, he could be a season keeper at hooker too.
And if he doesn't, he could be a sell much sooner than we wanted to, because that kicking has done a fair bit of heavy lifting for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the end of the world though, is it, if he just sits at hooker too? Like, you don't really want to be making tons of trades at hooker, so... Look, he's going to have some low scores, no doubt, but there's enough in there. Like he gets attacking stats most weeks. I'm pretty comfortable with Sandon.
Marky Mark Nwangani Tuase, 70 points with a try and an assist. That junky stuff from Marky Mark. He only had 12 points from hit-ups, so geez, he needed the attack in that late junk. Nearly 6,000 super coaches brought him in this week as their Kiddo's replacement. I mean, look, you're happy, 70 points, but... there is a small score coming. It hasn't happened yet because he just gets attacking stats every single week. There is a small score coming from Marky Mark soon.
Maybe. I love Marky Mark. I wanted to buy him this week. I just thought the matchups the next 2 weeks were tricky and just moving back to center would be tough. And it proved to be that. He got some real junk time stuff there. I'm surprised he didn't go off for a HIA either because he got pretty smacked around the head at one point. I think we're going to be talking about Marky for a bit still. I think he still might have some relevance come round 15.
Yeah, and I also think when he is back on the wing too, that's going to be helpful for his base because obviously it's just by its nature there's going to be more hit-ups. James Tedesco, he had 60 points. Non-owners thought they had him absolutely beat until the 67th minute with just, again, another junk try. He was the second most purchased player of the round. Over 15,000 super coaches took the plunge. 25% of the top 10% had him as captain. And I think, you know, it's 60 points, but you're certainly walking away from that disappointed from your 900K player.
Yeah, owners and purchasers will be disappointed with that. Canberra next week might be tough for Canberra to come back from that. That was a very tough game, and they might have a couple of suspensions as well. Hopefully not, but... I think Roosters will do well in that game. They've got a few to back up from Origin as well, though. I'm glad I don't own for next week. They obviously have the bye 14. It's going to be very interesting to see what kind of option Tedesco is in round 15 and what your combination fullback and flex looks like. He's going to have a break-even of 160 next week. So if he goes low again... you could feasibly, you know, if he goes, let's have a look, if he goes 70 next week, say, he's then going to have a break even of 137 the following week when they play Newcastle. I believe that's up at McDonald Jones as well. So it might not be an easy game either, that. So I'd probably be more eyeing him off post that, but we'll see. He could dip below 800K.
Billy Smith, I've got to confess, when I first did the run sheet, it was before update, so I put him on the run sheet as Billy Myth. But I've given him back his S at the start of his name after he updated to 43. 2 weeks in a row where Billy's upgraded like 13 points last week, 15 points this week. So whoever does the game reviews loves him. But look, he's not making any money. His break-even's around 40. Obviously, Roosters, you've mentioned all those things around their buy coverage. I don't think you have to hold him, though, if your numbers are looking good for some of those buy rounds. I think it's okay to sell now.
It looks like they gave him a line assist for some reason. I can't think when that might have been. Oh, No, can't think of when that might have been. But anyway, it's so team dependent, Jono. I had to get one of those in just for you. buy coverage is so hard. This is the hardest buy coverage season I've in my history of playing Supercoach over 10 years. Numbers are just going to be at a premium. I think people are going to be short next week. Teams who stacked with Dogs and Sharks are going to be right up against it. If we don't get everyone backing up from Origin particularly, I think Payne Haas is next to no chance to play next week. I've coined Billy Smith as the cockroach, and not because he's a New South Welshman, because you're just not going to be able to kill him. I think come around 19, he still will be in a lot of sides.
Oh, absolutely. Just began because of that coverage. It makes sense just to let him hang around. He's not hurting anyone. I think unless a bona fide, genuine cheapie comes along, why wouldn't you?
He'll pop out. He'll get an 80. Like, he's done it already this season, and that's why everyone bought him, right? He went 70, 80, and...
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't look good, though. Like, I don't... Another one, the Podfather wasn't happy with him either. He's blown up, saying he's had years and he's never done anything, so maybe he's right.
All right, on to the Sharkies now. KL Ito, 101 points, quiet first up, but absolutely exploded in the second with a try and an assist. He was another very popular Kiraz option, 9,000 purchases. He's going to be up around 730K now. I definitely looked at KL Ito. I ended up going a different direction with Herbie, which I'm not overly unhappy with, particularly because of next week's buys, as you mentioned. But, yeah, look, really well done for owners again. He's up to 27% of the top 10% now, KL.
Superstar. Wish I owned him. Wish I bought. Still almost wish I bought him even with getting Lehigh. I'm glad I didn't, because I'm happy with Lehigh's number for next week. The tries every week, seemingly unsustainable, but it's a bit of a point with these attacking teams that it becomes self-fulfilling, because they actually go and looking for him in attacking areas, and they're running plays to get him over the line because they know he's such a weapon. He's just got everything about his game screams Supercoach points. He's got tackle busts, he's got offloads, and he's got tries. He's added tries to his locker, which he didn't have for a good portion of last year. So, yeah, he's going to be right on my radar come round 14 after that bye.
Going to run through a couple of Sharkies here, Matt. Feel free to stop me if there's anyone you want to talk about. Cam McInnes, popular a couple of weeks back when everyone was desperate for a hooker, had 70 points with a try. Nico Hines, 69 points with a try assist. He was the most popular captain of the round. You and I both had him as our captain, and so did 38% of the top 10%. And the last one actually ended up being the most purchased player of the round. Over 20,000 super coaches brought in Adam Fanua Blake. A little bit disappointing. His minutes were good, 59, but he can only bust out of 53. And now, obviously, they have that bye next week. Anything from those three you want to talk about?
I've gone with Tarpany, so I don't think I'll get AFB now, just because I don't want to be too exposed at front row. I think with May and Haas, that's as much as you can go there. He's still going to be a good asset. I think you want Sharks still after this bye. Sharks have got a good run. I know they lost. Nico is pretty much a must-have, I think. Close enough to, anyway. McInnes, yeah, he's done really well for his owners. That crash play, they might even go with that again. So, yeah, well done.
All right, final game of the round, the Warriors versus the Raiders. Bit of a bludger of a game. Starting off with the Raiders, who won 16-10. Jamal Fogarty had 70 points with a try, 16 points in conversions. I know Danny Boy brought him in as a pod last week. He's got to be pretty happy with that. One that you and Danny Boy both own, is Tom Starling, 26% of the top 10% own him. 56 points with a try, but a late sin bin cost him, and he could now potentially spend a bit of time on the sidelines. You're of the belief you don't think he's going to get a suspension?
To be honest, I don't know. I don't know how they grade. You don't see many of these where if it's a late tackle and a kicker, they never suspend those. If they're compounding the high contact with the lateness of the tackle, maybe. I thought it was low force. I'll be surprised if he gets suspended. But in saying that, I have asked a few people, and there's a bit of chat that they think he might get suspended, but probably not owners. So we'll see how we go.
A bloke who I think will get suspended, we mentioned at the top of the show, Joey Tarpanay, had 51 points in 58 minutes. He is very likely to be charged with a crusher. I actually thought it was pretty lucky he didn't get a sin bin, to be honest. He was super weird game. Like, he was really, really fired up, almost too fired up. And it didn't quite translate into super coach points. One thing I was really encouraged by, Matt, I brought him in last week. You brought him in this week. Last week, his minutes were just down. I think he played 49 minutes last week. It was his lowest of the year. I was just encouraged to see those minutes back up to 58. It was nice.
It's a tough place to go. That, like, it's always, it's a bit of a Supercoach graveyard, Go Media Stadium. It's very hard to score points for whatever reason. And that was, again, today we saw the Raiders with no one really busting a good score there. Fogarty with a 74 was the top. Minutes were good. The thing one of the main reasons I wanted to bring Taps in was his offloading. So he only had two offloads today. It was slippery, so I can understand that. I just don't think the game particularly panned out that well for him from what I saw of it. But I'm pretty happy as long as he, you know, hopefully some chance. I thought from a crusher perspective it was not too bad, but I don't think Taps has the best record at the judiciary, so I'm expecting a suspension.
Yeah, I almost did a last minute thing. I never do last minute things. I'm glad I talked myself out of it. Just before the Sharks game last night, I took the C off Nico and put it on Tarponet. I just had a bad feeling about Nico in that game. I'm really glad I reversed it back. And my reasoning was, don't do a last-minute thing. They never work out for people. So I'm glad I stuck with it, although not too big of a difference in the end.
I think updates are in for this game, Jono, just while we're doing this here. He's updated to 58.
Nice.
Tamale with a big update from 45 up to 57.
Love that.
And Starling downdated to 51, so what a beauty.
What did, just while you're there, because we'll talk about these guys, what did Hosking and Horse end up on after updates?
Hosking 43, so pretty similar, and Horsburgh 44, so not just very small updates for them.
All right, well, that's completely reframed my mind around Tamale. He just a tackle-busting machine. He actually had a really poor game from an actual football. It's one of those ones where for him to get that kind of a score, he had three errors. It's almost like with KO Weeks being a little bit better under the high ball of late, I've noticed the teams are starting to target Tamale a little bit.
They are.
And he's finding it tough. He's a super talented player, but he's going to have to sort that out. Otherwise, he'll continue to be a big target for opposition teams. But very happy to get away with that score.
He's like a mini Greg Marju in the sense that he's a great tackle buster like Marju, but not quite as good as Greg. And he's prone to a lot of errors like Greg, but not as bad as Greg. So he's very much a mini Marju, not as good and not as bad.
Little Greg. Hosking, are you a Hosking owner? He had 41 points in 76 minutes. What do you make of him?
You're going to get weeks like that with Hosking. I think he'll score between 40 and 80, and he'll average 60.
Why is he not just playing 80 minutes every week? He hasn't. Every time he started on edge this year, Ricky has not let him play 80 minutes. What's going on there? It's so weird.
They've got a pretty, flexible bench, I suppose. And Ricky
Nicholson was there, he got 80 minutes every single time. I just find it so strange that, he just mustn't think that Hosking has the motor to get through the full 80 with the right intensity. I don't know. I just find it very strange.
I have no idea.
And the big horse we mentioned, 44. Again, another one that owners would be disappointed because he copped a sin bin, so should have been bigger. I think he'd be pretty disappointed with that. On to the Warriors, less to talk about here. Aaron Clark had 62 points. Well, I haven't checked after updates, but originally 60, had 62 and
65, yeah.
65. He actually almost had an assist off a crossfield kick where he ended up with the ball in the last, put in an absolutely beautiful kick that I just couldn't follow through with. But he just keeps getting the job done. Lukey boy Metcalf. Fluky Lukey, as I've christened him in the past. He 54 points before updates without a try or an assist, which seems like a bit of a win on a day where he wasn't getting that many goals either. Anyone else there from that game you want to touch upon, Matt?
Metcalf just updated to 56, so up a couple. Your boy Halasima downdated to 45, unfortunately. And Aaron Clark updated to 65. Bit of a write-off game, bit slippery again. Go Media graveyard for Supercoach as per usual. Dallin Watene-Zelezniak hasn't really come back with a bang. He's 22. He's going to be cheap for the run home if the Warriors can put a few together. That's almost a little black book, that one. But I won't. I'll keep my powder dry. People who held Vimunga through to this first buy for an 18. Thanks for coming. Yeah, they're not a very relevant team, are they, the Waz? Rogers 76, which is good. So, yeah, no, there's not a lot doing there. I do want to say I think Metcalf will continue to score well as the season goes on.
All right, final segment of the show, Matt. It's time for Little Black Book. Who have you got jotted down for us?
Now, again, this is as my snap debut. I don't really know what this segment is. It's at the end of the pod. I've usually almost had enough by this point, but I'm just going to interpret it however I want. Dylan Egan, he did his ACL, obviously. There's no obvious candidates besides Luciano Leilua, and I'm going to get slated for this, but he's 397K. He's owned by exactly zero teams in the top 10%. I just want to watch him, just jot him down in the Little Black Book for round 13 just to watch on his minutes. He has been playing bigger minutes more recently. So if he can get that 80-minute edge role, he is a Supercoach semi-gun of the past. Like, he's got it in him. I've definitely owned him before, when he was at the Tigers. So he's 397K. The Dragons have good buy coverage, so I'm just going to keep my eye on him this week.
I'm not going to rubbish you for Luciano Leilua. Compared to what he's seen in the past, that's value, getting him for under 400K. I again will remind you that we are on a round review show and you've picked a player who didn't actually participate in rugby league this week. So I remind you of that. But as an actual player, I don't mind him. I like him better than the guy I've picked. I've forced one because he did play this week. I'm just going to get through it quickly. It's Jack Bostock. He's one of yours. You love Jack Bostock. And shout out to his TikTok cooking channel, which I follow and find very, very good. Entertaining.
I've seen that too, yeah.
Mm. But look, he had 52 points on the weekend with a try. I just think that he's priced now. He's going to be 360K after the weekend. That just feels like massive unders for what we know he can be. I don't mind their run over the byes. And I do think they're targeting the left edge a lot, mainly because Herbie's going so well. It's often finding Herbie and not Jack, but I think he's going to be a bit of a recipient at times. And I think we could look at the end of the year and he could be 520K if he can go on a run. So I just think he's underpriced.
I like that one, Jono. He did that last year. He almost got to 600K last year in his debut season. He was 300K to start, and then he got up to close to 600. So, yeah, And I mentioned with Asako before that Dolphins run is very friendly. So I will actually probably have a look at Bostock if I need a downgrade.
Matt, that pretty much brings us to a close. Obviously, a couple of big shows coming up during the week. You're going to be away for the Tuesday show, for Tuesday team list. But this Thursday show, I'm super excited about, because you guys are going to record after Origin. You'll have a lot of good updates for the people there.
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought of that, but that's correct. So we'll do Q&A on the Thursday. We might even put that out a bit later just so we can get the information that comes out of Origin on Thursday morning. I'll have a chat to the production team about that and we'll check it out. But yeah, big show, and you're hosting the Tuesday show, stepping into my shoes. So it should be, I think we're getting Tubes on as well. So it should be an entertaining teamless Tuesday for round 13.
Let's hope so. Matt, you got anything else for us?
You beauty.